He's from music minister to associate to, and then back in 2011, pastored. It was Faith Family Fellowship for 8 years, which was in the former Disciple Heritage Fellowship building there when they had their offices in Lovington. And so just an honor to be with you today. And the last 5 years I've been preaching and helping worship teams with their music. And by the way, you need to be thankful for good music because you don't get that everywhere. You should give your worship leaders a God bless you. And always appreciate, you know, worship does create an atmosphere to where we can hear the Word of God. We're actually going to talk about worship today. So most importantly, I love Jesus. I'm thankful that He saved me. He's cleansed me. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus that we just celebrated? Amen. I'm thankful that we're in the house of God today, that we're not in the nicest jail cell in Macon County, that we're right here hearing the Word of God, and I'm excited to share the Word today. So if you brought your Bibles or your iPads or your iPhones or whatever you use for your Bibles, go over to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I want to talk about a heart of a worshiper today. But as you're turning there, I want to start off with a joke. I want to break the ice since y'all don't know me. So, and she's not here. My mom's like, you need to share this joke sometime, so I'll share it with y'all. So if you don't like it, blame her. She's not here. But there's a story of a new young preacher who went to visit his parishioners in the old folks' home. As he sat there chatting, he noticed a bowl of peanuts and took a small handful. He talked some more and munched some more until he put his hand down and found the bowl empty. Knowing his audience were all on fixed incomes, he apologized profusely and promised to bring some on his next visit. One of the old-timers piped up and said, "Oh, don't worry about it, sonny. With our teeth, we can't eat them anyway. We just suck the chocolate off and spit them back in the bowl." I started pastoring when I was 25. I didn't make that kind of mistake, but anyways. But this morning, we want to look at the story of Hannah and, of course, the story of her having Samuel. But I love this story because we look at a story of someone who loves God and yet was dealing with a difficult circumstance in her life. Here was someone who loved to go to the house of God. We see that she honored God with her life, and yet her faith was tested. How many of you in this room this morning, your faith has been tested at one point or another in your life? How many of you are going through a test right now? If you're not going through a test right now, you will go through tests in this life. We live in a fallen world, and there's things that we just have to deal with, right? And she was believing for a child, and she was not able to have children, and it troubled her. And we see that although she had questions, she never stopped trusting God, and she never stopped worshiping God. How many of you have had times in your life where you're going through the tests and trials, and it may not be quite as easy to lift up lift your voice to the Lord and worship God? I appreciated when I came into this church this morning that you could hear people singing. You go to some churches and they've lost their voice, they've lost their joy, they've lost their song. And let me encourage you this morning, don't ever lose that song of praise unto God. Amen. And her husband, Elkanah, they were getting ready to head to Shiloh to worship and to bring a sacrifice. And I think it's interesting, we're going to start in verse 9, but before verse 9, he makes this comment and he says, because Elkanah has two wives, and the first one they have children, and Hannah has no children. And he makes this statement, he says, "Aren't I enough, honey?" Basically, "I bring more joy than 10 sons." Now, guys put their foot in their mouth quite a bit. And I'm 38 and I'm single, so I haven't had to deal with that just yet. But, you know, sometimes guys have foot and mouth disease and just don't say the right things. And married couples don't look at each other, okay? But he makes this statement. It's not helping. But I want to pick up in verse number 9. And it says this, "Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh." And we'll talk about what Shiloh means in just a moment. "And after they had drunk, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was bitterness in soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give me unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said to her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away the wine from me. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to the house. And Elkanah knew Hannah was his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Let's jump over to verses 24 through 28. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her. This is after she had had Samuel. When she had weaned him, she took him up with him with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am a woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. And chapter 2 in the first two verses. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoices in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Man, what a story. I love how this, she continues to worship and go on and on, and for time's sake I won't go through the whole time of worship, but she just continues to worship and praise God. But that worship started before she saw the desired answer to her prayer. And how many times in between when we pray and when the answer comes, when that waiting period is happening, what is our response? Do we get discouraged, distressed, or do we begin to kick back over into worship? And there are several things that we see with the story of Hannah that I want to look at this morning. There was a song, and you may do it here in this church. It was written about 25 years ago. It was called The Heart of Worship. And the first few lines of that song was, When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come. You know, there's times where we go through situations in our lives where it seems like everything around us is chaos. There's confusion all around us. We may have experienced loss or grief. But it's in those times where we reach out to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, that no matter what we face, we have everything because we have Jesus. Isn't that good news? And so we need to get back to a heart of worship in spite of our circumstances. In spite of the things that we go through, I know that my God is good. And I can rely on His goodness to bring me through any situation. I can worship God knowing no matter what my situation looks like now, like the old hymn says, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds my future and life is worth the living, just because He lives. And Hannah learned how to worship in spite of her circumstance. And as she learned some lessons in this story, and we'll look at them, she saw the desired result she was asking God for. Let me encourage you this morning. Let this message challenge your faith today, strengthen your faith. But I believe in my heart that as I was praying and asking God, what would I share with this congregation? It was to encourage you in the area of worship. And as we head into the year 2024, there's a lot of people that will set goals and set put together visions and goals and, you know, resolutions. We need to get our worship back and get our song back and get our praise back. Amen. And so I want to look at four characteristics of a heart of a worshiper, and they all begin with the letter R, so you'll remember this if you're taking notes. But the first, we see that one characteristic of a heart of a worshiper is a heart of responsibility. Say the word responsibility. Hannah went to worship with her husband at the sanctuary of Shiloh, and the meaning of the word Shiloh is a place of rest and a promise of peace. How many of you know that we're not in a world that's experiencing a lot of peace right now? This world is the most chaotic that it's ever been. However, as the world gets darker and darker, the church should be getting brighter and brighter, right? But even though Hannah was in a place in her life where she was bitter, she still went to Shiloh to worship the Lord. How many of you have been through some stuff this week where everybody's just like, 2024 is going to start off great, and it's just like day one, boom. You may even feel like that you've gotten run over by a Mack truck, but you're in the right place at the right time because you made a decision to get up, get to the house of God at 9 o'clock in the morning to worship God and honor God. You just showing up to His house is an act of worship. And so you're in the right place today. She could have stayed home and said, no, the trip's not worth it because God's not coming through for me. My husband's saying, I'm going through stuff and my husband's saying really silly things. He's not helping the situation. Why would I want to travel with him to Shiloh to go to the house of God? But she goes anyway. She took responsibility and went to what we would call now church. And when you come to the house of God, it honors God. It's an act of faith when you make a decision to come. And we're living in a society right now where church attendance is not valued like it used to be. And I just want to continue to encourage and challenge you, whether other people value it or not, continue to value it and continue to set a legacy for the next generation, because you're making a difference more than you think. And although it looks very negative with what's going on in the church world, where you see 90 to 95% of your churches after 2020, the attendance being down, you continue to build a legacy because we honor God no matter what the world tells us to do. And you are in the right place. You've come to honor God no matter what you've gone through. It used to be, I remember when I was growing up, when it would snow 2, 3, 4 inches, you'd still try to do whatever you could do to get to church. Now it's like you see something like this, it's like, oh, flurries. It might stick to one part of my car, I can't go. That's the day we live in. And yet when I was, yesterday evening, I was finishing up Sunday school lesson and I took a little bit of break and kicked on the TV and was looking at the Steelers game last night and the Ravens game. People are just, they're out in the rain and the rain is just coming down. It's coming down in sheets. And people are jumping up and down and they're, you know, just letting their clothes soak, or you see some of those guys, they don't, fortunately not wearing anything, painting stuff on themselves. And they're just jumping up and down, and they're just excited about being there. And I got to thinking about this. Those arenas are packed. When was the last time we got that excited about coming to church? So a lot of times when we go through stuff, we blame God, and so we back off of coming to the local church. But the reality is, the problems that you face, God didn't send you a sickness to teach you a lesson. You live in a fallen world. Things happen that are beyond our control. Adam's lease, when he sinned, has not run out just yet. But in the midst of everything that we go through, God is still faithful. And I like what Psalm 23 in verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I really like that word through. because that tells me I'm going through and I'm going to the other side and I'm not camping out there. And if I'll continue to worship God and thank Him for His faithfulness, He will bring me through. Come on, somebody say amen. So it's important that we understand that a heart of a worshiper has a heart of responsibility. The second characteristic of a heart of a worshiper is a heart of repentance. And she's in the right place, but she's saying she's in a place of bitterness. She's in a place of complaining. And guess what? We've all been there and done that and worn the t-shirt. As much as I would like to say I'm this strong person of faith that always just reacts to every situation correctly, I don't and we don't, right? And she's saying, going on and saying that it says she's bitter of soul. But she's in the right place and she's getting to the point where she's so bitter, she's speaking with her mouth, but there's nothing coming from her voice. And Eli is coming up to her and saying, "You must be drunk. What are you doing here?" She was so troubled that she couldn't hardly speak. And we've all been there and done that. And in verse 16 of our text, it says she spoke out of an abundance of her complaint and grief. Now, how many of us have complained to God at least once in our life? Why is my situation not changing, transforming? You know, God looks at time so much differently than we look at time, right? He put us in this realm of time. And so when, I don't know about you, but I like things to work like clockwork. By the snap of a finger, I want things done. That's just how I work, whether it was when I was pastoring, in business, whatever. I just like the snap of a finger, things to get done. And I was just having a conversation before church. It used to be you could get things done fairly quickly, but in this day and age with lack of workers and just lack of good systems in place, what used to take 2 days to get done can take weeks to months, right? And so we need to learn to trust God in the midst of in that waiting period. But Eli makes a statement and says, "Go in peace." Now, she wasn't in peace before. She was in weeping from the bitterness of her soul, and she's speaking out of the abundance of complaining and grief. I'll tell you what, when I am complaining about something, I'm not in peace. I wouldn't want to check my blood pressure count when I'm complaining. And on top of that, if I'm upset about something, I'm a redhead and my face turns red. I probably get another freckle or two. But here's the thing. Eli says this very interesting word. He says, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." One word from the man of God changed the trajectory of Hannah's life. Had she not received what Eli was saying, she would have still been in a state of complaining and grief. But Eli told her to go, "You came in chaos, but now you can go in peace, because your answer is on the way." 1 Thessalonians, Paul told the church at Thessalonica to sorrow not like those who have no hope. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that we have hope. One of the greatest benefits of our salvation was when we came into the kingdom of God and asked Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, and we received the precious gift of this blood sacrifice that He gave for us. We became part of the family of God, and we went from having no hope to having hope. We went from having no expectation in our life to into hope, which hope is a confident expectation that God will work on our behalf. With Jesus, we always have hope. And true worship, when we come and worship God, we're not just coming for sing-along. I remember when I was in general music class when I was a kid, and you'd have, back then, if it was the Disney one, you'd have the Mickey Mouse, and it would just bounce on each word. And you'd sing along with it. You know, or, you know, you just imagine, you know, a Disney, you know, let it go, can't take it anymore. Anyways, since it's frozen outside, I thought I'd make reference to that. But some of you need to let go of your problems. Let go of your misery. Let go of the grief. And let God heal you today. and get your worship back in the right place. Because true worship forces you to take your eyes off the problem and get your eyes on Jesus, the answer and the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen? True worship will bring you to a place where it doesn't matter what's happening around you, and yet you know that with Jesus, you have everything. And when we do that, just like the song says, and the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Why? Because worship helps put our situations in proper perspective. Amen? So the heart of worshiper is a heart of responsibility, and has another characteristic. It's a heart of repentance. Thirdly, it's a heart of remembrance. Say the word remembrance. What did we do this morning? We took time to remember what Jesus Christ did for us. We took time to remember that God made it possible to correct what Adam's sin did, and we could now come into the kingdom of God because of His perfect, sinless life and His perfect sacrifice. And in this story, we see that God honored Hannah's faith. In verse 20, it says, "When it came to pass, when the time was come after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord." Samuel was the answer to her prayer, and Hannah had gone from sorrow to joy. And when we worship God, we're like Hannah. We start at a certain place, but I'm thankful that God doesn't need perfection. He brings us to a place where He works with us, and He meets you at your level of faith, and then He brings you higher, deeper, further in His ways. Amen? Some of us need to simply go back and remember the goodness of God and remember when we first gave our heart to Jesus. When we go through the difficulties in our life, we need to remember when Jesus came and saved us. When we came up out of that water and we came out, we knew that we made a public declaration of what Jesus did in us. And that time of joy, that time of jubilation. And she goes from saying, she says something interesting in verse 24, or in verse 28. She says, "I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." She goes back and remembers the promise that she made to God in verse 11 of her text. Hannah remembered, and then she went and gave Samuel to the work of the ministry. As someone who pastored a church for over 8 years and still active in ministry through what I do in traveling ministry and other things, the people that receive from God on a regular basis and are living in the joy of the Lord are people that are thankful people. And we live in a society where we've lost our manners. In the natural, we've lost please and thank you, right? I told somebody thank you at a restaurant the other day, and it was just like nobody said thank you recently. You know, we need to get back in our own lives and say thank you, but most importantly, we need to get back to God and tell Him thank you again. When was the last time we said a heartfelt thank you? And again, when we take time in worship and praise to God, and we don't just come and sing the songs, there's an opportunity that you have to enter into an atmosphere of worship and an atmosphere of thanksgiving. You don't have to wait till November for Thanksgiving. And in the world that gets darker, it's less popular to worship God. That's being challenged in our society today. People will mock you for saying the name of Jesus. And it used to be where the churches and the preachers and pastors and ministers were honored for what they did in life. And now people, when they were the most, you know, respected occupation, now they're less and less and less because of the society that we live in. The world is getting darker and darker. But in a world bowing down to the politically correct culture of the day, which it is, you can't get away from it, be like Daniel, open up the door, and put God in remembrance anyway, no matter the cost. Daniel could have shut the door and said, I'm going to worship God in private, but he didn't. He opened up the door so everybody could see it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have bowed down and worshiped their gods and turned around and said, well, we'll repent later. God won't be mad at me. But what did they do? They refused to bow, and because they didn't bow, they didn't burn. And when they went into the fire, I love what it says. King Darius looks at back there and it says, didn't we put three in? Who's that fourth one? He looks like a son of God. And we know who that was. It was Jesus. It was a type and a shadow of things. I am going to preach this morning, but that's okay. It was a type and shadow of things to come for when Jesus Christ was going to come on the scene and be with you in every situation, because he said he would never leave you nor forsake you. He said in John chapter 14 that he was making the way so the Holy Spirit could come and live and dwell on the inside of us, that the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, and Standby would be with us. And so no matter what happens, if you won't bow, you won't burn. And when they came out of the fire, what happened? They came out and they didn't even smell like smoke. That's how God wants to work with us in our situations, if we'll have a heart after Him and have a heart of remembrance. And as our text says today, be like Hannah. Be like Hannah and continue to worship, and you'll see that desired result. And she did not care what people thought. She dedicated Samuel to the Lord. And so we need to be dedicated to the Lord in our lives, no matter what this evil world says. Let me tell you something. Our Bible tells us the world will get darker and darker. You can't get away from it. But as the church, we're going to get brighter and brighter. Amen. And then the fourth characteristic we want to look at is a heart of rejoicing. Hannah prays in chapter 2 and verse 1, and she says, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Again, I've said it several times, and I'll say it again. Don't lose your song. Don't lose your song. She's rejoicing in God. She's experienced the victory that she was believing God for. And again, it forces you to take your focus off your circumstances and put your focus on your answer. Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith. Unfortunately, when we walk around, sometimes it seems like Christians are the saddest people on the planet. Right? Sometimes Christians are a lot like Eeyore. It's really bad, but it could get worse. What's going to happen next? No, Christians shouldn't be like Eeyore. They should be like Tigger. Jumping up in the air, getting excited about life, just running so fast, knocking Winnie the Pooh over, and just so excited about what's happening, right? And as believers, as part of a new covenant, a better covenant than Hannah was a part of, we're part of a new covenant, a better covenant with better promises. We have a reason to rejoice. Jesus brought us out of darkness and brought us into His marvelous and glorious light. And there are times I could look back at my life where I could see that He saved me from death. I remember when I was 16 years old and my parents would always pray over me before I would leave the house for the day. And I was coming home from school and I'd lived in the country and live in the country, same property today. And I was turning left off of Route 36 just coming out of Atwood to turn on my road, and there's a semi coming, so I have to stop. And behind me, I see this, and I had this wonderful, anybody ever own a Ford Tempo in their life? I mean, those little Ford Tempos were awesome, right? They had the little buttons on the ledge there, and you just push, yeah. Awesome car. But anyways, I'm getting ready to turn off, and there's this GMC 2500 pickup truck coming behind me, and he's not slowing down. And the only word I had time to get out was Jesus. Because I knew it wasn't going to end well. It turned out he was going about 60. He said he was going 55. He was going more like 70. But anyways. But I'm at a complete stop, and this truck just hits the car. And all I remember is the glass was flying on the left side of me and the right side of me, and the seat in that wonderful Ford Tempo, it broke. I mean, it came unattached and moved up, but I didn't move. So I got out of the car, and I'm really upset that my beautiful Ford Tempo has been destroyed. It's just gone. And I get out. I go back to the guy to tell him off. My redhead was coming out at that point, right? And then I find out I know the guy. We go to church together. That made it even worse. My flesh wanted to do more than just yell at him. I wanted to slap him. Like, it was just like, what are you doing? And then, but I just kind of looked back over at the car, and then I looked at myself, and I'm standing, and I looked at the car, and then I looked at me, and I looked at the car. I did that several times. And then I got on my knees and said, "Thank you, Jesus." Because there was no way I should have walked away from that. So when the police came, and the Atwood police came up, and they were writing the ticket from the, and that, and we came from the same church, the police officer did, from years ago, and we went used to go to church together. We were actually neighbors. He said, "You better be glad that guy knows God and angels protected him, or you'd be in the slammer, because he'd be dead." Right? And he's just giving him guilt. I was like, "It's okay. It's okay." I look back at that situation, and I had no injuries, walked away. Everything was fine. But I look back at that situation, I say, "Thank you, Jesus." And I have a reason to rejoice. And even though I lost my beautiful Ford Tempo, insurance got me another Ford Tempo that looked exactly the same in the same color and everything. One more thing about the Ford Tempo, when that impact happened, those little buttons that you use for the air conditioning and the vents, they came flying out like popcorn. It was like popped out like popcorn. But anyways, I'm just so thankful for His goodness and He protected me. Because we can be without a stuff. You know, stuff is stuff. He protected me. And He's faithful. And some of us need to go back and remember the victories that He's brought to us over the years and His faithfulness. And if He'll do it, if He did it before, He will do it again. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18 says, "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything," notice it doesn't say for everything, it says in everything, because God doesn't send everything. You're in a fallen world. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And just as Hannah rejoiced, we need to learn how to rejoice. You know, in the Old Testament, we see David knew how to rejoice to the point that it made his wife mad. And there are times where your family won't understand why you're rejoicing about the goodness of God. But let me tell you something. Rejoice anyway. We're told to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But in the natural, why would you sing praises to God in your darkest hour? Look at Paul and Silas. They were thrown into prison, in the darkest part of a prison, if you study the history. And yet, they began to sing praises to God. And about midnight, they sang praises and their chains were loosed and the prison doors were opened. What are you going to do when it seems like you're in the darkest place of your life? Do you give in to what the enemy wants you to do? That's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to get discouraged and depressed, because if he can get you to that place, he's got you. But if you'll rejoice, rejoicing puts you back in a place of faith. And you have a reason to rejoice. It's because you know that Jesus Christ is going to bring you through. So as we wrap this up this morning, we've looked at four characteristics. Responsibility. You continue to come to church and you continue to worship in spite of your circumstances. Number two, repentance. As Hannah was encouraged and corrected by Eli the priest, instead of getting offended, she changed direction. And one word from God changed the trajectory of Hannah's life. Number three, remembrance. Hannah put God in remembrance and remembered the promise she made to the Lord. Those promises that you made to the Lord in years past and you forgot about them, God's not mad at you, right? We've all said, "I'll read my Bible, I'll do three chapters a day," and then the next day we forgot, right? But keep worshiping. Honor God with your life. And number four, be people of rejoicing. Learn how to rejoice. as I wrap this up and worship team can come up for the altar call, her worship affected another generation. Because Samuel was, in my opinion, the most consequential priest of the Old Testament. Why? Samuel anointed David as king, and we know the rest of the story. And it's important that we learn to obey God when it comes to worship. We're commanded to worship and praise Him. And so, as we wrap this message up, as the song says, I'm coming back to the heart of worship because it's all about Him. It's not about what we did. We need to get back to trusting God. Like the song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. We're going to do the altar call this morning. We want to open up this altar if you need prayer. They're going to do trust and obey. Perfect. But the altar's open. Go ahead.